Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello and welcome to Gegenpressing, the Bundesliga podcast. I'm Manu Feit, he's Stefan Biankowski. And first of all, Stefan, how's it going?
Yeah, very well. Another interesting weekend of German football. The drama keeps happening. The title race kind of continues to fall apart, but still plenty to talk about, I think.
I have a psychological question for you that I think I need to pose after we, you know, go through the hey, how's it going and all that sort of stuff and the ad, etc. But yeah, I'm really excited to dig into everything that happened this weekend, because it has been once again a drama filled weekend. But I also wonder if it's like we're almost like sleepwalking to this inevitable end, Stefan.
Yeah. Do you know, it's funny, I was actually watching some English football today on Sunday, because I was kind of thinking between watching, you know, one of the German games or the Manchester Derby, and I thought I'll stick the Manchester Derby on. And I was kind of thinking to myself that this is kind of the part of the season where I start to maybe not lose interest in German football, but like the kind of necessity to watch game after game kind of begins to diminish, because at this point Bayern are running away with it. But of course, that's still happening this season, but it's a different team running away with it, and you're almost like, wow. If it comes down to the title race in this country, the title race in that country, then I'm going to go with the one that's a little tighter. And again, German football seems like a foregone conclusion, but it's a different team on top this time.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I have to think back before the season. I was with Sepp, friend of the podcast, Sepp Staffer-Bloor, right, at the Allianz Arena covering the Super Cup, and I had this big discussion with him that Bayern won't win the title this year, that I just don't think they were good enough, right? And he's like, he's just sat down there and he's like, it's going to be match day 24 and we're going to be sitting here and Harry Kane will be 12 points clear top of the title. I mean, he wasn't all wrong. The title race was going to be over, but sorry, Sepp, that I'm going to throw you under the bus here, but yeah, let's turn this on his head. But we'll get to all that and whether there is actually still a title race or not, and maybe talk a little bit about poor Harry Kane as well after this break. This episode of the Gegenpressing podcast is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team, and remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, that is B-L-E-A-V, BELIEVE, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Yeah, this is really the psychological question I wanted to pose here to you, Stefan. If the team on the top of the table wasn't Bayer Leverkusen with 10 points clear ahead of Bayern Munich, would this really still be a title race? I mean, you and I are old enough to remember 2002 Vizekusen, 1999 Vizekusen. I mean, the 2002 one was the more epic fail, because they threw away three titles, right? They threw away a real treble, you know, collapse in epic fashion in Unterhaching to give Bayern Munich the Bundesliga title. Oh, no, sorry, actually it was Dortmund. excuse me, Bayern Munich was the first time. Then they collapsed, of course, in the Champions League final against Real Madrid, where Zinedine Zidane scored an incredible goal. And then they lost the German Cup final as well. And to make matters worse, their captain, Michael Ballack, got all the way to the World Cup final with Germany and lost there to Brazil, although he wasn't on the field. I mean, that is the most epic collapse of all time. And I think all of us, even now, 22 years later, we still remember that. So my question to you is, if it wasn't Leverkusen 10 points clear top of the table, would we even have this discussion?
Yeah, well, I'll start by saying I do remember that Champions League final because it took place in the stadium which I grew up outside of, Hampden Park in Glasgow. And obviously one of the most iconic goals of Champions League history was Zidane's volley. Yeah, it's such an interesting kind of curse, if you will, because when I was actually with the club early in the season, they were quite happy to point out that, you know, no other team have finished second in the Bundesliga more often than Leverkusen, which is usually something you think a club would maybe try to hide or brush under the carpet or dismiss. But Leverkusen almost kind of wear it as like a kind of badge of pride. And obviously, it, you know, the way the German football is, where it has one club that tends to monopolize and then you have like five, six, seven kind of big clubs competing for that, I think Leverkusen do kind of feel at times that they get left out of that conversation when we talk about the Schalkes and the Dortmunds and the Gladbachs and Frankfurts and whoever else, simply because they don't have the fan base or the stadium and things like that. But they would argue that they definitely do have the history, at least on the field. You know, I'm sure ultras and fans can argue to the cows come home about legitimacy and 50 plus one and whatever else. But yeah, I mean, to go back to your main point, would we be, if this was Bayern this far ahead at this point, we would say, yeah, it's done and dusted. And to be perfectly honest with you, I think this is also done and dusted. 10 points clear with 10 games left, if I'm not mistaken. And I think the key thing is that, you know, this isn't, you know, this isn't Borussia Dortmund 2 or 3 points ahead with a game at Allianz Arena to go, or as we saw last season where it was really went down to the final match day. Can maybe see Leverkusen dropping 1 or 2 points here or there, and you can certainly argue that in recent games they have been quite fortunate to pick up all 3 points, but there's just nothing about this team that makes me think they're about to kind of implode. And I think that basically sums up Leverkusen so well. You know, you look at this game against Cologne at the weekend, 2-0 win against their rivals. We joked before on the preview show that this is obviously a fixture that Cologne fans only call a rivalry when they win, but it had all the hallmarks of a derby, you know, a red card, some fantastic goals, great atmosphere. But it was a game that was once again kind of just one that Leverkusen went through the motions, they did what they do best, and, you know, both goals were just kind of a perfect example of Leverkusen, I'm going to say, walking it into the net, even though that's kind of in the modern kind of way of football, that's almost been used as like a critique of certain teams that try to walk it into the net. And it is a critique unless a team actually can do that, and that's exactly what Leverkusen can do this season. And I thought it was also quite fitting that it was Grimaldo and Frimpong who got the goals, because the pair of them have just been so instrumental to this team and the way that they play, the way they score goals, the way they win games, the way they unlock teams. And I actually had a friend ask me about it this afternoon, saying, you know, he doesn't follow German football, but he said, well, I take it that's the German league done and dusted then. I was like, yeah, more or less. And he's like, I've just looked at the stats and I can't believe how many goals and assists Leverkusen's fullbacks have. I was like, well, that's because they're not fullbacks. They're wingbacks, or at the very least, actually, just full-blown wingers. And the reason I really want to emphasize the point about those two players is because they're two players playing in a system that Xabi Alonso has put together to get the best out of them. And I think it'll be a real testament to just the remarkable job he's done this season that I suspect that if or when Frimpong and Grimaldo move on to other clubs, I don't think they'll be able to replicate what they've done with Leverkusen this season, because they're such specialised players in a specialised system that, you know, I don't think you could just plop a Frimpong in at right back for Man United or a Grimaldo in a left back for Arsenal or Real Madrid or whatever and expect them to do the same thing. it's a tailor-made system with tailor-made players, and at the heart of it is obviously Xabi Alonso, who's tactically been brilliant, but also in terms of this mental fortitude, he's built such incredible, you know, team that just do not give up. And I guess the point I'm trying to get to here is that it's a very, very unique moment in time for this club, for these players, for this head coach, and that's why they've been so amazing this season.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a couple of things here. You know, I was asked in the Substack chat today whether Grimaldo is going to leave the club in the summer, and I do think Frimpong is going to leave because it's the 40 million euro exit clause, and I actually think that Leverkusen are planning to sell him, right? And that is going to be their one big sell, so they can address other fields that they need to address. Although I would argue that Frimpong's replacement is already at the club in Talia, right? He's already pretty much been playing that role many times, including against the Bayern game where he started over Frimpong. So I would argue the replacement is already there and they're going to use the 40 million. And I, you know, when you talk to agents and people at Leverkusen, they're going to say, we really only need this. There's only one player we don't have control over, and that's Frimpong. Everyone else we have control over. And that is very much by design, right? That they're going to sell. He's going to be the one we're going to sell, and then we're going to use the money to improve the squad even more. There are also the news, of course, this week that emerged that they have control over Xabi Alonso's contract as well. There was always this understanding that there was an exit clause in 2024. Well, actually, it's in 2025, right? So that changes the discussion completely, in my opinion, because now Leverkusen can just say no to anything. And I'm suspect they will. I mean, there's no way that Simon Rolfe is going to let Alonso go. And I'm pretty sure that Alonso will accept that. So that changes the conversation entirely. And then the Wirtz-Camp came out too, right? And said that they want to stay long term. They were now talking about 2 or 3 years even about staying at the club. So it's really good time for Leverkusen. And then the point that I also wanted to make, I just did the math. So if they average 2 points a game for the rest of the way, which would be significantly less than what they're averaging now, they would get to 84 points, which is the maximum points that Bayern Munich can still reach. If you're an optimistic Bayern Munich fan and think they can win all of their remaining 10 games, well, that's good on you. But that's even if Leverkusen drop their average point to 2 points a game, they still get to 84 points, which is they have a better goal differential as well, which is the other factor. That would be enough at this point, you know, that is a huge mathematical obstacle, I think.
And that would be, in 5 games' time, I'd assume, just looking at the table right now, I think, because they're on 64 points, so to get to 84 points, two points per game would be 5 games, wouldn't it?
So 10. They're 64 points.
Oh, sorry, of course. Too late on Sunday for me to be doing that math. Yeah, which would be really interesting. Look, no, you're absolutely right. I think that's such important context. You know, you mentioned the Xabi Alonso, Florian Wirtz, Frimpong stuff. I think a lot of people are expecting this Leverkusen team to be dissected, and it might not happen at all, to be perfectly honest with you. As you said, yes, Frimpong might be sold because he's been in the shop window for 2 or 3 years now, to be perfectly honest with you. Florian Wirtz, I think, is the key one. I think he'll probably be taking his lead from what Xabi Alonso does. If Xabi Alonso stays, Florian Wirtz will say, well, I'm playing my best football here. We're going to be playing in the Champions League. We're the German champions. We've made history. I'm happy staying here with him. And I think the really important thing to bear in mind about the Xabi Alonso stuff is that, yes, any manager can get out of their contract. They can push, and a club can come in and pay the compensation fee. We saw that with Julian Nagelsmann at Bayern Munich, obviously not that long ago. But in these circumstances, we're really talking about a club kind of needing a head coach last minute and parachuting in and saying, I'm sorry, but we have to take your head coach now. I know you're in the middle of a season. I know you're in the middle of preparing for this cycle, but we need your head coach and we're going to give you compensation for that. That's not really what's going to happen with Xabi Alonso at the end of the season. Leverkusen know which clubs want him. They know that Liverpool might want him. They know Real Madrid do want him. I guess you can make an argument that maybe Bayern Munich want him too. But they've known these things for so long now that it's not as if they're going to get to June and suddenly Xabi Alonso's going to turn around and say, oh, the Liverpool job's available. I'm off, guys. You know, he's obviously, if Xabi Alonso has any inclination to leave and go to Liverpool this summer or Bayern Munich, Leverkusen would already know that. Florian Wirtz would already know that. And Florian Wirtz's dad would already know that when he came out and says to the media he's staying for 2 or 3 years. And I think, as you've been saying on social media quite a lot recently, and I think it's I completely agree with you, all things line up to Real Madrid in 2025 to me. And I think that would explain why the Florian Wirtz camp are more than happy staying put for a year. And we're not exactly seeing clubs or players hankering to move on in the summer.
Well, the other argument is what's Alonso going to do when he's won the Bundesliga title with Leverkusen? Well, how about winning it again?
Or the Champions League. He gets a shot at the Champions League, which is, you know, yeah, of course, defending the title, the league title is one thing, but I think we're talking about a team here, by the way, who came within a whisker of winning the Europa League last season, you know, and they're obviously in contention for this year. So there's absolutely no reason why Xabi Alonso isn't looking at the teams in the Champions League this season and thinking, oh, we could go far in that competition. So yeah, I would be surprised if that's the main ambition next year, assuming they go on to win the league title this year.
I also think that the one thing that really defined Klopp's time at Borussia Dortmund was, yes, reaching the Champions League final, of course, but those back-to-back titles, to show that you weren't able to do it once, but twice, that you were able to best Bayern Munich twice, right? Went such a long way of really cementing his legacy at Borussia Dortmund. And I think we have seen many one-hit wonders in the Bundesliga, right? Stuttgart coming out of nowhere to win the title, hasn't done it since. Wolfsburg is another one, came out of nowhere, won the title, never were able to replicate it or even came close to replicating it, right? Dortmund is the only team that has done it like 2 or 3 times in the history where they've won it in, you know, in this super modern Bayern era club era, that they come in and said, we're not only going to best you once, we're going to best you twice, and then we're going to do something in the Champions League as well. And for Alonso to do something with something like that, with a club that's not named Borussia Dortmund, to maybe win back-to-back titles, and as you said, have a deep run in Champions League, maybe win it, I think that would set a legacy up for him. And then he can do what Klopp does and pick whichever club he wants.
Yeah, exactly. And as we've been saying from day one, Xabi Alonso has made it clear that he will not change his plans for a club. He will do what he's going to do, and he'll decide when he wants to leave Bayer Leverkusen. So yeah, if you're a Leverkusen fan, great weekend of action. Things look very rosy for 2024, in my opinion. And let's just maybe hold off on believing all these transfer rumours until the end of the season, perhaps.
Yeah. Speaking of transfer rumours and coaching decisions, I don't want to talk too long about them because I feel like we've said everything there is to be said, and we'll probably maybe have to do another big podcast later this week if they go out to Lazio in the Champions League, Stefan. Although I am actually really optimistic that Bayern Munich will now put all the eggs in the Champions League basket and possibly even go deep in that competition if they get past Lazio, right? But you know, that 2-2 draw against Freiburg, there was two big takeaways I had from this game. A, teams now believe that they can beat Bayern. Because like at no point when Freiburg went down 2-1, most teams in past years would have said, okay, well, that's it then. You know, there's no coming back. Freiburg was like, no, not only are we going to go for a draw here, we're going to try to actually get all 3 points. And they played really, really good football. I mean, this is Christian Streich. This is Christian Streich's side. They do play good football, period. But like, I think the teams now have a belief that Bayern Munich are there for the taking. And I think that is a huge change. And it also underlines what we've said over the last few weeks, how much work Max Eberl and Christoph Freund have in the coming months trying to fix this. And I actually think there's a really good, well, which is, you know, brings us back to Alonso maybe wanting to stay, because I think it leaves it wide open next year as well, or someone coming in and maybe beat this Bayern Munich side again. Obviously, we have a lot of coaching discussions. If it isn't Alonso, and if Tuchel doesn't get past Lazio, we might have that discussion next week. It is so crazy to think for me, Stefan, that the man that is now being talked about is the guy that gave the club the biggest heartbreak in the history.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode of the Gegenpressing Podcast is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team, and remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, that is B-L-E-A-V, BELIEVE, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Yeah, I suppose so. Obviously you're talking about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, which I think that kind of layoff for me there was a bit misleading, because I thought you were going to talk about Sebastian Hoeneß, and I was like, when did he break Bayern Munich's heart? But yeah, so just to kind of add context, the German press are saying that if Tuchel is sacked before the end of the season, Solskjaer might be brought in as the caretaker head coach, which makes absolutely no sense to me. I personally think Solskjaer's just got a very busy agent who's happy to take phone calls from journalists, to be honest with you, because every time a job comes up in England, the exact same story pops up. But yeah, this was always going to be a problem with keeping Tuchel on. They've kind of pulled all their sporty levers, haven't they? They've got nothing left they can do. They can't exactly say, well, they might sack Tuchel because the results aren't good enough. Well, you'll say, well, you know, I've been handed my P45. I'm already clearing out my office. I'm already looking for a fly in London or whatever. I'm leaving Munich in a few months' time for sure. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, the fascinating thing is that at this point, surely you'd think they would just give it to like one of the youth head coaches or someone in charge of the reserve team or whatever else, you know. I'm trying to remember if Miroslav Klose is still running the under-19s, under-21s.
No, he's gone. The one that has been talked about is Martin Demichelis.
Right. Well, yeah, well, there we go then. You know, something like that would make far more sense to me, where there's no expectation that he's going to take the job and he can go back into his role at the club, rather than someone like Solskjaer, because that just doesn't make a huge amount of sense to me, to be perfectly honest with you. But the reason we're talking about this is because, of course, Bayern Munich dropped more points, and as you said, Freiburg were outstanding in this game. Two excellent goals from Freiburg, and actually two excellent goals from Bayern. It was four outstanding goals, so I would definitely recommend anyone who didn't watch this game to go check out the goals. Do you know what? I think it really sums up Bayern quite well, actually, in the sense that going forward, they have their moments. You know, Musiala still capable of incredible amount of magic, really kind of weaving through defenders to score that goal. Matthijs Tel with an outstanding placed shot. I'm sure a lot of fans, I know a lot of our subscribers have been kind of crying out for him to get more starts, and he obviously did a good job of picking up his goal. But yeah, as you said, this just kind of shows that teams are not afraid of Bayern, and I think it's probably quite telling. Even the Günther goal in particular, the first goal for Freiburg, the fact that Manuel Neuer pulls off an amazing save in the lead up to that, and then maybe the third or fourth phase of that attack, the ball goes in the back of the net. If you're Manuel Neuer, if you're a defensive coach, you're pulling your hair at that point, because you think, why is it I make an amazing save like that, and then like 40 seconds later, the ball still isn't out of our box? And I think that sums up a lot of the issues that Bayern have had this season. But yeah, they're in a rut. They're kind of playing for second place at this point. I'm sure, as we'll say in a moment, we'll talk about in a moment, even that might be in jeopardy. Yeah, it definitely feels like Tuchel is now just kind of doing whatever he wants, because that lineup I think it was actually quite similar to the one we saw in the previous game. You know, Dyer starting in centre back, Kimmich at right back. Intriguingly, kind of sticking by Thomas Muller, which I found quite surprising. Upamecano dropped. You know, it feels to me like I think you actually mentioned this in one of the subscriber chats, maybe last weekend's one, where you said it looks like Tuchel's almost just using these Bundesliga games as practice runs for the Champions League itself. Which is quite interesting because that is a competition that they're actually still in. But yeah, it's a very bizarre moment to be a Bayern Munich fan right now, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Matisse Tell, there's a bunch of our Substack subscribers that we're screaming of joy when he's finally in the starting lineup and then vindicating them that with that beautiful goal, right? I thought he was excellent. You know, and I think this is the time now to play him because he is the future for this club. The Bundesliga is, you know, increasingly becoming irrelevant for them, so you might as well play him. Same with Pavlovic, he's sticking to him too. Sort of a counter argument to all those people saying Tuchel can't integrate young players because there's two right there. So, you know, Pavlovic in particular, the fact that he's playing him on such an important position every match day. And yes, he's not perfect. No one is saying that. He can't be. He's 19. I think that's a lot of credit to him. I actually thought, you know, this game was really good. Bayern Munich essentially dropped points because, as you said, defensively, there were issues there again, right? That ball ricocheting around the box and poor Mario Neuer, who actually I thought had two excellent games now because I think he was really good against Leipzig as well. Really good reflex saves, really making really good stops. You know, what is he supposed to do there? He just must be so frustrating. You know, and that's it kind of all leads us to on the field. Tuchel's actually, I think, in some ways setting up his successor quite nicely by bringing in Tell and Pavlovic now and maybe leaving him two ready-made young players that, you know, whoever comes in next can kind of take over. I guess the big question then is whoever comes next. There was actually a really interesting point that was put into the Substack chat. We have the match days chat, right? That every week is just growing and growing. And someone asked about Feyenoord's Arne Slot, who's now on Max Eberl's list. Interesting name, not someone that we maybe expected. I was asked by by someone at the Whitecaps game that I covered yesterday for Transfermarkt here in Vancouver about Sebastian Hoeneß. Turns out one of the journalists is a big Stuttgart fan and really worried that Bayern are going to poach their former youth coach, right, and bring him back to Munich. I think those two, because I think internally Bayern are probably quite aware of how difficult Alonso is going to be. They're going to try, don't get me wrong, because they're Bayern Munich. You know, they're always going to try to poach someone like Alonso from their position. And you have to recall, they tried something similar with Klopp, right, when he was at Dortmund. So, like, this is not unheard of. The rumors that you're seeing with Alonso and Bayern, this is not new. This happened 10 years ago already. But I think internally, they know that this is going to be really tricky. Arne Slot is an interesting name. I have to do my research on him, to be honest. I know Feyenoord have done some really interesting things in the Netherlands. I know Dutch coaches have a history at Bayern, right? We all remember Louis van Gaal and how well modern Bayern Munich would not exist without Louis van Gaal. I think this is a point that we always need to make very strongly. He had his issues, but, you know, Dutch managers have worked there in the past. But Sebastian Hoeneß is the one that intrigues me because his Stuttgart side could catch Bayern and finish second in the Bundesliga, Stefan.
Yeah, they absolutely could. As things stand, after this weekend's football, they're 4 points behind. I actually thought they were quite lucky to beat Wolfsburg, to be perfectly honest with you. My heart actually goes out to Pro Wolfsburg, who in the last kind of month have probably deserved a point against Stuttgart. Deserved a point against Stuttgart. Were held to a draw against Frankfurt. Probably should have beaten Dortmund where they got a point. And then they played, you know, Union Berlin and Hoffenheim before that. So they've had a really tough run of it actually recently. And they are kind of edging closer to that relegation zone. And actually, I would maybe argue that if you actually look, I don't have the stats in front of me, so forgive me if I'm wrong, but I reckon if you were to look back over Stuttgart's last five games, I suspect that their XG form might be less than their XG against. And what I mean by that is they're actually, they haven't been creating as many chances as their opponents, but they've been more clinical. And like a lot of teams at this point of the season, like we've seen Leverkusen really grind out results, Stuttgart are doing the exact same thing as well. So, you know, Stuttgart in a great position, but the, I don't know, the stories linking Sebastian Hoeneß to the Bayern job are interesting, of course. He's done a fantastic job. He's right up there with Xabi Alonso for, you know, manager of the year. Obviously, I don't think he's going to get it. If Alonso wins the title, I don't think he'll begrudge anyone that, voting for Alonso in that regard. But I think you have to maybe consider the optics here for how that would play out for Bayern. And actually, I would probably include Arne Slot in that too, who did a great job at Fire. He was actually linked with the Tottenham job before they decided to go for Ange Postecoglou. It was really heavily linked. I might even go as far as to say Feyenoord kind of stopped him from moving there, but maybe I'm making that up. I can't remember. I'm going purely on, and this was like last May, so it's been a while since then. But yeah,
you wrote an article on him, didn't you, for Transfermarkt on Arne Slot?
Yeah. I did a profile on him when he was linked with the Tottenham job. I spoke to our colleague Kevin Luke's in Holland, so I'd definitely suggest Bayern fans go look that up and on Transfermarkt and see what you think of it. But I don't know. The interesting thing is that, like, for obviously, if someone like Christoph Freund or Max Eberl are looking at, you know, the next 5 or 10 years at Bayern Munich, then someone like Sebastian Hoeneß or Slot would make a perfect sense because he's a project manager. You know, he's a young name who they could probably pick up quite easily and build a squad around. The only issue is that they did this 2 or 3 years ago with Julian Nagelsmann and it all went up in smoke. And I suspect that some fans may not accept, with all due respect, a lesser name stepping into the fray here. They'd probably want some kind of a big name manager that they can put toe-to-toe with the likes of Pep Guardiola, I guess Jurgen Klopp won't be there next season, but Mikel Arteta, Arsenal, or Carlo Ancelotti, Real Madrid, etc., etc. The question is, what kind of coaches are available, and that is a tricky one. But it'll be interesting. I mean, I'd love to hear from some Bayern fans who they would want, because Xabi Alonso is the obvious one that everybody wants. But as we talked about, neither of us probably really suspect that he'll leave Leverkusen this summer. And I don't know. I think if I was Bayern, I'd be looking at Sebastian Hoeneß and thinking he's got everything right this season. But can he do it more than once? And I know he has. Obviously, this isn't his debut season in the Bundesliga. He's done a fantastic job at Stuttgart and before that. But, you know, I think he has to kind of prove that over a number of seasons at Stuttgart before maybe he should be, like, in line for a job like Bayern Munich. Because if they're not careful and they do kind of go for this kind of left-field choice, they might be stuck with another situation like Julian Nagelsmann, who, remember, tactically, spot on, squad selection, spot on, training. The problem that Julian Nagelsmann had at Bayern was that he just simply wasn't used to a club of that size. He wasn't used to having this almost like a transfer committee above him. He wasn't used to having an entire boardroom make their point week in, week out, and having basically a small village of big name ex-players, just nose in on his job every week. And I know that sounds like hyperbole, but that's exactly the issue that an Arne Slot or a Sebastian Hoeneß will have to deal with. And it's obviously something that Thomas Tuchel struggled with as well.
Yeah, and I mean, both Tuchel recently, right? And I wrote about this in my Max Eberl piece, mentioned this, right, in public. And then Julian Nagelsmann did a really big interview with Der Spiegel where he mentioned that as well. You know, the culture of the club and how difficult it is to change things and bringing in new ideas and how hard the board is to convince. And it's actually interesting, I mentioned Louis van Gaal earlier, right? He too publicly spoke out about that afterwards, how tricky it can be to come in as someone who is maybe has some more radical ideas. And I'm not talking Jurgen Klinsmann putting Buddhas in the training center, right? I mean, we're talking radical ideas tactically, within reason. And I don't think what Nagelsmann, Tuchel, and Louis van Gaal you know, suggested was always radical. There were some ideas that were rightfully vetoed, you know, but there were some ideas that Klinsmann famously wanted to loan out Thomas Müller to Hoffenheim, right? Which, retrospect, crazy. But, you know, there are some things where maybe managers come in and they feel like they cannot quite reform the club. And, of course, maybe that...
Can I just make one point to that, Manu, on the back of that before we jump on? I was just going to say that when Nagelsmann got sacked from Bayern, I wrote a piece for the Telegraph here in England, and I spoke to someone off the record who used to work with Nagelsmann, and he told me that before Nagelsmann was sacked, he caught up with him after a game where this person that works at another Bundesliga club, and he said it was quite telling that when he said, "Hey, how's the Bayern Munich job going?" Nagelsmann just turned around to him and said, "It's exhausting. It's absolutely exhausting." And it's not to do with the players. The players are great. Training ground, great. And, you know, you get a lot of PR and propaganda saying he fell out with this player, he fell out with that player. In reality, he just struggled to fit into a much bigger structure. And I think, as you said, you know, a Hones or an Arnie Slot might do the same.
Yeah, it's extremely complicated. It's interesting because independent sources told me the same thing that... I don't think it was the same source, Stefan. We talked to different people, but you know, they told me exactly the same thing.
It was a well-known secret. It was the worst kept secret in German football, really.
Yeah. And I mean, Julian Nagelsmann, all these people, I mean, the circle of people in football is usually quite small. You know, you're only always separated by, there's only always one degree of separation, really, between anyone. It is a really small world. So, you know, you get a really good pick. If you really want to, you can get a really good picture really quickly. And I think, you know, the fact too that so many people have spoken publicly about it. I also want to flip this around and talk about Stuttgart, because Stuttgart are now probably going to make the Champions League. I think they will, right? They're going to have a top four. And as we point out many times, top five is probably going to be enough. Finish. They now brought in the new investor in Porsche. Right, and what an investment that's for them, right? They're buying this stake in this football club, and that are clearly Stuttgart are on the up, and I mean up, 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 and up, because the stadium renovation looks really good as well. They're going to play Champions League football next year, which means there's going to be a huge influx of money. There's a lot of things going right there, right? And so if you're Sebastian Hoeneß and you look at this and like, I'm going to have a lot more money to spend next year. Porsche are coming in. There's going to be a brand new stadium because of the Euros, right? I'm going to be in the Champions League. I can prove myself there. And then if Bayern might still be there in 2-3 years, the way things are going, or I could go to a other club. I could maybe become the successor for Xabi Alonso at Leverkusen, or maybe Leipzig need a new boss, or who knows what's going on with Dortmund, right? Like, I don't think there is an urgency from him either.
I think that's important to note, that as we talked about with Xabi Alonso, where we often say he knows that Real Madrid will always be there for him, Hoeneß is much the same with Bayern. You know, he is, I know the name itself has some recognition, even though it's maybe a little, it's maybe not as obvious as people think, because they maybe think he's Uli Hoeneß's son or something like that. It's not quite the same. But in a sense, Bayern will always be there for him if he continues to do a good job as a head coach. You know, he could, as you said, he could spend another couple of seasons at Stuttgart. He could even go off and, you know, coach in the Premier League and do a decent job there. And as we've seen with Jurgen Klopp, the entire time he's been at Liverpool, that Germany job or that Bayern job have always been kind of waiting in the wing if he ever wanted to. And we never know. Maybe Klopp could be the Bayern Munich head coach next season.
Ooh, but God.
but... no, the only thing I want to add, the last thing I want to add about Stuttgart here is just that I think it's maybe also worth just kind of tapering their expectations, only because, as I said, their XG numbers of the last five games, I suspect, maybe suggest that they're not running out of steam or, you know, running on empty or anything like that, but they are beginning to really grind out results against, you know, teams who, I think it is the first half of the season, we really expect them to really blow away. And then if you look at who they've got coming up, they've got Union Berlin, they've then got Hoffenheim, who again won this weekend, Heidenheim, who, you know, who love taking big scalps. Then it's Dortmund, Frankfurt, Bremen, Leverkusen, and then Bayern Munich with two games to go. And, you look at that list of teams, and absolutely, are Stuttgart better than Union Berlin? Of course. Any better than Hoffenheim? Yes. Heidenheim, Dortmund, Frankfurt, Bremen. All these teams, absolutely. So there's no reason to say they can't continue doing well. But if they are going to start dropping points, and if they're going to continue kind of scraping by is a really bad word to use there, because it denotes, suggests they don't deserve it. But unless they can maybe get another kind of boost of energy or performances, I suspect they might start dropping points there. But the only other thing to add is that we've seen Dortmund and Leipzig drop points all season long, so it's not really as if either of them are going to put a huge amount of pressure on them.
And the team ahead of them might still drop a few points here and there as well, Bayern Munich, right? And I actually suspect that when Stuttgart play Bayern and Leverkusen, that might actually be a really opportune time to play one of them, because they won't care anymore.
Absolutely. Well, hey, look, Bayern plays Stuttgart on the 5th of April, and by then we might know if Sebastian Hoeneß will be the Stuttgart head coach next season or the Bayern head coach next season.
Yeah, we might. That is an interesting one to watch. We had a few thoughts about Borussia Dortmund, but I actually think we need to shelf them for later this week when we talk about transfers and some other stuff, because there were some interesting comments, and I think this is a good place to wrap up the main show, the review show. As I said, I added the Stefan's excellent Honest Lot article that he wrote for Transfermarkt to the Substack chat. And we can share it one more time, maybe as well on a different chat if that topic comes up again, because it is quite good. I quickly read it while you were talking to Stefan. So I think you answered all the main questions about Arne Slot in there. I don't think there's much to add. So that was quite good. So yeah, check that out. And yeah, as always, this podcast is brought to you by BetOnline. There was some really good content last week if you want to still catch up on that. And then, of course, we have the full slate of new content coming up this week. So stay tuned for that as well. I think that does it, Stefan. Anything you want to add?
No. Just to say, yeah, we'll have the bonus shows be back this week. I think we've agreed we're going to do reaction shows to the two European games. I think that's Bayern and Leipzig, if I'm not mistaken, who are both very much in their ties. So yeah, that should be very interesting. And just a big thank you to everyone who subscribes. Also, another shout out for the YouTube channel. We've started putting all our videos up on that. That's also why, actually, maybe we should publicly declare this, that we no longer use the theme song. No one's actually asked about it yet, but it's probably worth explaining that basically every time the podcast got uploaded to YouTube, we got a copyright complaint, obviously, because we're using the band's music. So we decided just to remove that from the podcast, avoid any issues. We hope listeners don't mind. But hey, look, if you're really passionate, you can always go play the song before you listen to the podcast, and then you can just pretend it still goes.
An Tagen wie diesen von den Toten Hosen, shout out, great band, the biggest German rock band there is, period. In fact, I think a picture of their concert in Buenos Aires, Argentina, hangs in the Louvre. That's how big they are. Or it might be the big museum in New York. It's one of them. Whatever. That's enough for today, Stefan. Let's wrap this up. Until next time, auf Wiedersehen.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.